Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of naturenow@kptz.org. Hello, and welcome to Nature Now. I'm your host, Nan Evans, and today we are exploring the fundamentals of threatened and endangered species restoration using the ongoing story of the Pinto abalone as the Salish Sea's only abalone species. But before we do that, let's hear this week's mystery sound. Well, even if you quickly recognize these sounds, and you may, there is a special twist. See if you can identify what might be different about these sounds. And we'll come back later in the recording and talk about them a little bit more. My guest this week is Josh Bauma. Josh is the Abalone Program Director with the Puget Sound Restoration Fund. Josh is a shellfish biologist, scientific diver, and abalone recovery program director for the Puget Sound Restoration Fund. And I think Josh's is true, has basically been focused on efforts to restore healthy populations of the Pinto abalone to the Salish Sea. That's what Josh does. He also manages the Port Madison Community Shellfish Farm, and Josh is actually talking to us via Zoom today from the labs that NOAA has, their abalone hatching and rearing labs, at their Manchester Research Station. It's sort of down near Port Orchard. And then on Sunday, January the 22nd, Josh will present the next talk in the Port Townsend Marine Science Center's Future of the Oceans lecture series. The talk is in person. It's at the Fort Warden Chapel at 3 p.m. And for more information about that, go to the Port Townsend Marine Science Center website. Well, we've talked actually about Pinto abalone several times over the years on Nature Now. The most recent one was in October and December of 2020. And you can listen to those podcasts on KPTZ's website. Today, we'll get an update on the restoration efforts. And we're kind of going to delve into the sort of scientific process and the questions that need to be considered when doing a restoration effort. How does that work? How do you plan to restore species that are threatened and endangered? A quick background on the Pinto abalone. It's a little guy, 4 to 6 inches long. I think they're actually wonderfully cute. They're usually nicely colored, sort of pink. They have that sort of basic structure that those big abalones we can envision from the California coast. One big lustrous shell with some holes that are for waste removal and water and release of gametes or reproductive cells. They graze on algae and they munch on kelp. And they were a food source for the indigenous peoples of our area. Unfortunately, although they were once widely distributed in the Northeast Pacific, the Pinto abalone population dwindled dramatically. The data I have is that in Washington alone, scientists documented a decrease of 97% of the population from 1992 to 2017. And then in 2019, Washington State listed it as an endangered species. So, Josh, first of all, what happened that took this species to the point of essentially being a non-viable population where it was, we could still find them, but I think, functionally extinct? What happened?
Yeah, that can be a really complicated question, Nan, and there's a lot of different directions we can go in answering that, but it's good to just start by talking about the range of this particular species. Pinto abalone are unique in that they range, all the way from Sitka, Alaska in the north down to Baja, California in the south. So of all the West Coast species, there's 7 species on the West Coast here. Pinto abalone is the one that has by far the widest range. And they're really patchily distributed along that range. So these guys really prefer that dynamic, rocky reef, current-swept habitat where you'd see a significant kelp canopy overhead. But they're really, as I mentioned, patchily distributed along that whole range. And depending on where you are in that range, you know, we have different amounts of knowledge about what the population is like. That's one of the unique things about working on pinto abalone here in Washington. It's the only abalone species that we have in Washington. And we know quite a bit about them because it's the only abalone species we have here. And WDFW has been following populations for quite some time. You know, along that range, we also had really different harvest pressures. You know, when you talk about losing a species, over harvest is often a contributor, and that's certainly the case with abalone. You had intense commercial harvest pressures on abalone in California. Mm-hmm. You also had the same thing in Canada. But here in Washington, because we only have this one species, there weren't significant enough numbers here to actually have a commercial harvest for the species. There was a fairly intense recreational harvest. Scuba divers found this to be a really popular sport diving activity. Mm-hmm. And along with that, you know, came quite a bit of poaching activity as well. As you mentioned, WDFW has done a really, really good job of tracking populations all the way back, you know, into the early 90s. Because of that, you know, there was concern that these harvest pressures were too much. The recreational harvest was closed. And the assumption was, this is our strategy. Let's close the harvest and see if the species can rebound.
So that's often a strategy people use when you're looking at conservation, is you just stop the harvest.
Yep, that's the first, easiest, most basic step. Let's take away that pressure and see if this species can recover on its own. That number that you mentioned, 97% of loss of the population, that's a really
that's a huge number.
Yeah. Number. And that was over a 25-year period. So clearly the removal of that recreational harvest pressure and the associated poaching that was happening along with it, clearly that wasn't enough. And that's when we start to look at, you know, the biology of this animal and other reasons why, you know, we're not seeing a rebound of the population. You know, abalone are broadcast spawning invertebrates. So they have this unique reproductive strategy where they're putting their gametes into the water column and hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. But, you know, along with that strategy, they need to be in dense aggregations for that strategy to work.
Increase the probabilities.
That's right. Those males and females all need to be in the same place at the same time. Those gametes need to meet in the water column. And we just don't have a dense enough or significant population for that to happen anymore. And that's, we call that the Ali effect. We're not seeing a recruitment of, you know, new generations because the reproductive population that is there is aging and is too spread out. So I think that's where we're at now. This population in Washington waters is, you know, functionally extirpated. You know, of the 10 historic population sites that we monitor, 5 of those sites don't have abalone on them anymore. So the Ali effect is a big reason for that. And of course, you know, we have to think about climate change and ocean acidification and other things that may be happening to prevent or slow down, you know, a bounce back in this population. But it really goes back to that intense harvest period in the late 80s, early 1990s, when you had this really popular recreational fishery and a significant amount of poaching happening as well.
When you, and I'll use you all, Washington Department of Fisheries, Puget Sound Restoration Fund, et cetera, what were the factors that you thought about when you were deciding to focus some restoration efforts on the pintos? It's obvious that the population is in great stress, but what were the sort of biological features that you thought about? So like why the pintos?
Yeah, that's an important question. It can seem like a small, insignificant critter. So it is important to ask, why is it important to restore this particular species? And, you know, there's a lot of answers to that question, and they're all important. But, you know, I think the first way to answer that is pinto abalone. It's the only abalone species that we have in Pacific Northwest waters, and they're unique because of that. This is a large charismatic marine snail. And as a marine snail, it has, you know, significant grazing behaviors, and it serves an ecological purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, abalone can act as ecosystem engineers, and that's kind of where their ecological importance lies. When you have a healthy rocky reef system with abalone as part of that system, their grazing behavior is going to keep that rocky reef substrate clean. And that encourages settlement and presence of all these other diverse species that utilize that same rocky reef habitat. So ecologically, they play that role. And we see a loss in the complexity of that habitat when you remove that big herbivorous, charismatic grazing snail.
So at that point, did you have enough scientific knowledge about the biology and the ecological role of the pinto abalone, or were there a number of kind of unanswered questions that you needed to explore before you could sort of take conservation steps to restore the population?
Well, you know, there's quite a few abalone species around the world, and unfortunately, they're all in decline.